Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I love you guys. I've never been here before, but I feel like I belong here. I really do. And I have to tell you, your pastor and his beautiful wife and all the staff have treated us so royally. I told him, I said, I'm not a prima donna. I don't need all that special attention, but I sure do like it. But there's so much that I want to share with you and so little time. We want to get right to what we're here for. I want to say thank you for the invitation. And for those of us meeting for the first time, you're looking me over. I'm looking you over. You're wondering what happened to me, and I was wondering. That's called a pregnant pause. And it just had a baby. A little about myself. I'm 71 going on 50. Hollywood says 50 is a new 30. Common Core Math says I'm 20. I'm going to stick with Common Core Math. But I feel great. Great to be with you. I don't walk real well. I jumped out of a helicopter in Iraq in 2011 and broke 6 vertebrae. And so they put in 12 screws, 2 rods, and braces, and I was paralyzed for a short period. But look, I'm walking without braces, and I'm happy to be alive. A little bit more, if I don't bore you with talking about myself, but we're getting introduced. Maybe a few of you have known me. I used to not have a nose, just part of one. But look here. It's a boy. And they made my nose a year and a half ago, and it's real. It's my ear's not. It's artificial. It fell off when I was preaching in Jamaica. I stuck it back on. They thought it was a miracle, and they all got saved. That's a true story. I was in Fallujah some years ago with some SEALs, and we were relocating some detainees, and we stopped about 2 o'clock in the morning and refueled and picked up a few more detainees, and I took a latrine break. I came back. I threw on my body armor, which you can't fly on those airplanes in the military without it. So I threw on this battle rattle. Well, it hit my ear and knocked it off. 2 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't want anybody stepping on it. The thing cost $25,000, Bill. I don't want anybody stepping on it. So in the darkness, I said, nobody move. I tried to sound like a general, and everybody froze, and then I had to fess up. You know, I said, my ear fell off. Would y'all find it? So here are these SEALs down there on this ramp to a C-130. It has all these divots and crevices and wheels and rollers for all this heavy equipment. They're down there feeling around in the dark. One of them looked up and said, you're just making us look like idiots. I said, no, man, really. My ear did fall off, but one of you's close. I can hear you breathing. And one of them said, is it me? And I thought, you're defending my country. I took my training, right, just a few, not far from here, at Coronado. I was a brown water black beret, and my instructor was a SEAL, and I was sent to Vietnam with SEAL Team 1, and I was the boat guy. And the most amazing men I've ever known in my life, I had the honor to participate with in a symbiotic relationship that's still good today, and I'm proud to be with the Navy SEAL this morning. God bless you, sir. I salute you. I got to tell you that I'm a typical boy when I was growing up, but I was in an untypical situation. My dad was a pastor. And when I was born, my mom almost died. She never did recover. She actually died from that. But for many years to follow, I had a Mexican nanny. And every morning I'd wake up to, David, dame un beso, andale pronto. I'd give her a kiss, and I'm out the door. And at 6 years old, I had to learn English, and they told me that I was not a Mexican. And that was very, very awkward to my Hispanic brain to get around that. And so I have a very strong connection to my Hispanic history. It's called enchiladas and tacos. But my mom taught me to never complain. She never, ever, ever complained, never once. And for decades, curled up in a fetal position in a nursing home for a number of years. And she couldn't complain then. She couldn't talk. And it made me question a lot of things in life. Some of my television evangelist friends told me the formula, you say it this way and believe it that way, and it's got to happen. You command God. I never did think I should command God. God is my commander. And when she passed, I had learned so much from her that lectures could not have given me, but lifestyle did. And she taught me in how she lived and how she survived and how she died. I'm privileged to be married to my junior high school sweetheart. Yeah. I asked her to marry me when I was 16, and she slapped me. She said, but I'm only 13. I said, but you have the body of a 14-year-old. She slapped me again. That's a true story. We had a rocky, very difficult beginning. But 51 years later, we're still together. Not bad. And I'm honored to have 2 kids and 4 grandkids. So that's a little introduction about myself. Unfortunately, on a Memorial Day weekend and with my past experiences, I probably will have to refer to myself more than I'm comfortable to, but I'll be the illustration of my own message today, if that's all right. I was injured in Vietnam, yes, teenagers, 1969. I know you think that's after the War of 1812. It is after, but not right after. And I was injured trying to throw a white phosphorus hand grenade. I drew back to throw it. I pulled the pin, and I was 1 second from delivery. I didn't know I was in the crosshairs of a sniper, and he put out a burst of rounds, and one of them hit my hand and blew the grenade right here. And in 1 second, I went from perfect health, 190 pounds, to 57 surgeries later, and number 57 comes next week. And they're still trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and all the king's horses and all the king's men. They can't, but along came the king and Humpty's back.
Yeah.
Humpty's back. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You don't have to go to war to get hurt. I go to Vietnam, I get hurt, come back with a purple heart. You go to divorce court, get hurt, come back with a broken heart. And a broken washer, and the ex got the dryer and it works. Because life's not fair. And when you think life doesn't treat you fair and it's not right, well, get over it. Because everybody gets hurt. Read what's left of my lips. Everybody gets hurt. No exceptions. It's not will you get hurt, it's when you get hurt. And the question is, when you get hurt, how are you going to deal with it? Remember what I said about my mom? Never blame God. Don't do this. Why me, God? What if he answered you?
Well, I don't know, George. There's just something about you I don't like.
Then you're a crispy critter like me. That's pretty gross. If you're in junior high, you like that. So I'm here today to tell you that God had a plan for my life like he does for your life. And in life, we get hurt and we suffer. But God doesn't do evil. He doesn't do this to us. He didn't shoot me that day. He didn't set me on fire that day. He didn't blow half my skin and 60 pounds of flesh off my body that day. God didn't do that. Men do to men what God never thought of, and we teach the devil most of what he knows. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? And so I knew that God didn't do this to me. I knew it was war, and I knew people get hurt in war. But the joy of knowing Christ is you don't have a scar he can't use. And my philosophy is never let a good scar go to waste. So when you get hurt and the devil tries to take you down, well, if he hits you once, hit him back twice. It's called one-upmanship. hit him twice, and then he'll think twice before he hits you again. And so I grew up in a Christian home and knew to love the Lord and in time of suffering, not to blame God. That's why I'm here, because I didn't turn to the bottle. I didn't turn to drugs. I mean, I've never even smoked a joint in my lifetime. I've never snorted coke. I've never put a needle in my vein. Never took a pill to get high. I can hallucinate on a half dosage of a St. Joseph's Aspirin for children. I just never did the drugs. And my life has since then been in many ways regulated by prescription drugs to help me get through some of the difficulties that physically I have to have help with. But I just thank God that my greatest asset did not come through a prescription drug. It came through an unprescription, no limit dosage of Jesus Christ. No limit dosage. So I kissed my little sweetheart goodbye at the airport at Love Field, of all places. And I remember the taste on my lips to this day of the tears, the salty tears I kissed off her cheek. And I turned and walked away. And I was five steps, and she called my name, Davy. And if she said David, I'd go stand in the corner she was about to send me to. But when she said Davy, that's a term of endearment. And before I could stop, turn around, having not shed a tear, proud of myself for being tough, tears came to my eyes. I looked back and I was mad at myself. I said, what? And she asked me a question that haunts me to this day. Davy, are you coming back? I dare say any person in this room that's ever served in combat, you had to deal with the question of will you come back, and you had to answer that question in some form. Somebody asked you that question in some way. And I looked at her and said, I'll be back without a scar. Why did I put that scar thing in there? What if I just answered, I'll be back? Then I could be governor of your great state. Better than one you got. No, I'm kidding. We'll stay away from that. And so I kissed her goodbye and went to war. I made it 8 months without getting hurt. And on the eighth month, in the span of 3 days, I was injured twice. The first injury was relatively minor, but it was serious enough to medically evacuate me on a dust-off to preserve my eye. They thought I'd lose my eye from shrapnel getting in it and some lacerations from an explosion. And in the process, they required me off the river for 3 days. I was on a little fiberglass riverboat. Fiberglass now, how's that for up armor? Fiber, you can shoot a pistol through it, you know. Think what a B-40 anti-tank rocket-propelled grenade could do to it. If it hit the engines, there were two of them, if it hit an engine, the engine became shrapnel. The boat would go up in white smoke. I mean, literally white powder. It'd drive a cocaine addict insane. All that powder in so little time. I don't know where that came from. I should think twice. But the explosion that day was not of the boat, that hand grenade. I thought I was hit by a rocket. I didn't know I was hit by my own grenade. I thought it was literally we were hit by a rocket. It took several weeks in the hospital, maybe a month or so. Time became relevant that they did a forensic retracing, backtracking how I was hurt, and they came to the conclusion I was hit by a sniper. And so when I did get hit, thinking it was a rocket, I swam across the river from where the explosion was. I swam across the river away from my guys because I thought if they're going to fire again or they're coming after me to finish it, I didn't want to be near them and get them hurt. And it's not heroic. And I was in the water thinking they'd put the fire out, but phosphorus burns underwater, doesn't it? You can't extinguish it. And half my skin came off. My face was gone, and I looked down, and I could see my heart beating, and my back was on fire and skin dripping off my arms, and my right hand was severed in half with one finger left attached. They got these on again, but they don't work. They make a good mic stand and a preaching finger. Repent, see? Repent. Nobody's going to repent with a pinky. You got to use your index finger. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but to me, It was a promise of God. The devil took a lot, but God made sure he didn't get anything that keep me from doing what I was called to do. No weapon formed against me can prosper. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, give it up for Jesus. It's not about me, it's about him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so I crawled up on the bank of the river and I looked at the damage and my brain said, it's over, you're dead. And I wasn't sure I wasn't already dead because I've never been dead to know what dead is. And that's a true statement. I didn't know if I was dead or not. And so I the only way I knew that it confirmed I wasn't dead, I could see my heart still beating. And with every beat of my heart, it'd shoot blood out of an open artery that the shrapnel severed in my hand. And I was bleeding to death, burning to death, and I could have drowned. So all the above gave me the opportunity to exit, except for one little problem. I grew up memorizing scripture, and on the bank of that river, those scriptures came back to me. And one of them came out of the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to understand, brothers, wrote Paul, the things that happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. And so things happen in life. Even Forrest Gump knew that. Things happen. And I realized that I'm devastated. I'm not going to pull out of this. There's no way. I'm as good as dead. But the verse goes on in verse 19. And this is all going through my head at the time of my injury. He said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that according to my earnest expectation and hope, don't lose hope, last line of defense against suicide. Wow. Yes. My last line of defense, and I should have lost it. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through the supply of the Spirit of Christ and through your prayers, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, verse 21. To die is gain, kept repeating over and over in my head, to die is gain. And then suddenly I realized I'm not going to die, because the first part of that is to live is Christ. And I thought in my natural brain, I'm going to die, but Jesus was saying, you're going to live. And I took his role, but I tell you what, it wasn't an asset to me. To live was very difficult. Death would have been a much easier way out. I was in the hospital for 1 year and 2 months. And during that time, they pulled a sheet over me 2 times. Once on the riverbank when I fell over backwards, they thought I was dead. And they ran over and threw down a stretcher and rolled me on the stretcher. I was still burning. And 2 weeks after my injury, they opened me up to do surgery, and I burst into flames on the operating table. Because phosphorus only needs oxygen to spontaneously combust. And when they opened me up, the phosphorus that didn't have time to blow was inside of me. And when they opened me up, I was shooting fire out. They nicknamed me the Crispy Critter and Hot Stuff. So that's what they did. Those were my nicknames. That's not a joke. That's really the truth. And I was blind in my eye. I got my vision back. And I have a cover over my eye because my eyelids don't blink. And my right eye didn't. So they covered it so it would not dry out. They only did that a year and a half ago. I was losing my eye after all those years. 48 years of pain in my eye, 24/7. And they made a cover that covered the eyeball a year and a half ago. 48 years of pain gave way in 30 seconds. I was pain-free. In 30 seconds, it was all done. Isn't that sweet? And I've got a lot of parts, you know. I just took the braces off after I broke my back from a helicopter jump. I took the braces off about a year and a half ago, and I can walk now without them, as I said. But the braces went to an artificial knee, and then 12 screws and 2 rods up my back after that fall. And a steel braid that holds me together inside on my chest cavity, and a bar that holds my ear on, a cover over my eye, and I got my hair back. I bought it. There's a guy in China wondering why he's bald. And I thought I'd put all my parts on the bed. My wife said goodnight, and I was in the other room. I told Pastor I got so many parts. When I die, they're going to open an Ace Hardware at the cemetery. You know, I make fun of it because crying about it's not going to fix it. There's not enough Jack Daniels to grow my face back. There's not enough kilos of cocaine to turn my ear to reality and grow me back a thumb. They made me a thumb out of my hip. I don't suck it. Is it okay if I talk like that? So all this story I've been telling you, I want you to put it together in reality. I can't see that clock very good because of the light, so I'm going to check me out here. I've got just a couple of minutes. 10 minutes to go? Oh, good. I think God had a plan, and he knew what was going to happen, but he didn't intervene. And I didn't understand why, if God could put the moon in space, why he couldn't stop a 7.62 bullet out of the muzzle of an AK-47 detonating a grenade that would burn. Why couldn't he stop that? He could have, but he chose not to, and I didn't know why he chose not to. I didn't blame him, but I didn't know. And like a good lawyer, don't ever ask a question in court you don't already know the answer to. And I didn't know the answer. And I didn't want to deal with it. Since I didn't know the answer, I didn't let it bother me. I just put it in, pigeonholed it, and left it. One night on Trinity Broadcast Network, Jan Crouch, you remember her? She's a very wonderful lady. A lot of people thought, you know, take off the makeup and you'll find Jimmy Hoffa. And I loved her so much. She and I were very, very close friends. And I don't have that many really close friends, but this is how we became best friends. On set, when I already asked her, I already said to her, it was a Memorial Day event on Monday night. And I said, Miss Jan, I'm really tired. I've been on a 90-day tour. Don't ask any hard questions. It sounded like Hillary Clinton doing the primaries. And she said, I'll make it easy for you. And so the first question out of the box, David, do you know why God let you be scarred, maimed, and burned? The question I didn't know the answer to and didn't want to deal with it. And it made me angry, but it was Christian TV, and you got to fake it for Jesus. And I said, I don't know why he let me be scarred. And listen to her answer. Because he knew he could trust you with the scars. Wow. For 20 years, from my injury to that day, I was suicidal. My first and only attempt at suicide came in Japan after they brought me out off the river. They sent me on a big plane to Japan. And it was there I asked for a mirror, and I saw myself, and I tried to take my life because I didn't want Brenda, my sweetheart, to have to deal with me. I wanted to get me out of her misery. And I didn't have a gun or knife. I just pulled the tube out and laid my head back and waited to die. And I got hungry. It was the wrong tube. I'll pull lunch. And the fact is, when they got me to America, they put me at the hospital I'm now still a patient in. And I asked for my sweetheart to come see me. And when she walked up, the door opened, she was standing. The guy in the bed next to mine, his wife came in, threw her ring on the bed and walked out. She said, you're embarrassing. I couldn't walk down the street with you. And it terrified me. Now I didn't want Brenda to come in. And she walked in and she said to the doctor, that's not my husband. And I just turned cold. I knew it was over. I'd never know the love of that girl another day of my life. But God. She took a second look, looking in my good eye, and I don't know what she saw. Something in there she recognized, and she kissed what was left of my face. And she looked me in that good eye, and she said, I just want you to know I love you. Welcome home, Davey. And when she says, Davey, I said, Doc, I'm getting better. And I was in for a year and 2 months, and I walked out with suitcase in one hand, sweetheart in the other. And they said to me, you'll never father children. I have two of them, they're mine. They got plastic ears and hairpiece and everything. And I did fine right up until 9/11. And on that day, I tried to re-enter. I tried to re-enlist. They laughed and said, you're already 100% permanently and totally disabled. You can, and not counting mental. And so they said, well, you can't. Well, 2 weeks later, they called back and said, we're not going to put you in uniform. But they made me a contractor with the Department of Defense. I'm a resiliency coach in the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program. And my job is to spiritually uplift our troops by telling them my story and faith in Jesus. How's that? How about that, folks? That ain't me. That's him. And so, you know what? If y'all quit clapping, I have more time. No, don't. That's encouraging. It didn't go to my head. It goes to my heart. And on 9/11, my life changed forever, like yours. And they sent me. They said, we want you to go to all the military installations in the United States. So from 01 to 03, I covered so many bases and military army posts and Marine bases, Navy base, the whole shooting match. And then they said, would you go downrange? And I said, absolutely. So they sent me into Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, Bosnia, Kosovo, and now South Korea and other countries that I could tell you, but then I have to kill you. Not that bad. But they had a reason for me to go. They wanted me to tell my story because out of this tragedy came triumph, and they want that story told for resiliency, and I'm a resiliency coach, and I just spoke to 19,000 troops at, it's in Tampa and MacDill Air Force Base, Central Command, and in one day, 19,000 troops. Then 2 days later, I'm in Oklahoma City with 10,000 FFA kids at the Oklahoma State Convention for those children. My average audience age is about 19. And that's why it's good to not be any more than 20 emotionally. But I want to conclude by telling you that my job in Iraq is not just resiliency. Sometimes I need a little help too, especially after escorting a plane load of caskets covered in flags. I'm not emotional, it's your carpet, I'm allergic. I gotta make this quick. I brought a little video and it shows you what we do. My job today is not only with the active duty in the field, but the active duty before they're medically discharged and the med board decides their disability. They're going through a stage of limbo, and DOD sends them to me, to our ranches. I have one in Colorado and one in Texas, and we bring them, married couples, 80% plus fail in divorce, and they send those couples to us. And they say, if it worked for you and Brenda, maybe it'll work for them, and it does. They come with separate bags. They go home with one bag packed. Wow. That's good. That's good. But I brought this little video to share with you. It runs about 4 minutes, and it shows you that some of the places, if you're military, and a lot of you, I think, are, you'll recognize some of the places, but because they're classified, I'm not able to name the places. But where it's not classified, you'll even hear a little bit of the voice. Some of my buddies, I've trained 5,000 wounded, and they're out preaching today all over the country. Many of them, not all 5,000, I wish. But we select the best of the best, and God touches their lives, and God's making evangelists out of them, kind of like I am. And that's the best thing that's ever happened in my life, just take their tragedies, use my experience, turn it into a triumph in their lives so they can do the same thing for others. I got to shut up and show you the video. It's all about the angel flight. Would you show that for me, please? Thank you.
good afternoon. Angel Flight Bravo 03. Gear down 5 miles. We have a hero on board tonight. Angel Flight Bravo 02, you are number one for landing. Welcome home.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.